Okay, hello everyone. My name is Robert Beverly. I am a program officer in the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure within CISE. And I'm delighted to have you all with us. Myself and my colleague, Kevin Thompson, also from OAC, are here to talk about the CC solicitation. This is the Cybersecurity Innovation for Cyber Infrastructure. This is solicitation NSF 22581. And just a quick mention before we start that this presentation is being recorded and will be made available to the public on the NSF web pages. It will take approximately a week to get posted, but you will be able to rewatch this at your convenience. So the goals of this webinar are fourfold. The first thing we would like to do is to introduce the CC program and its objectives. We'd like to detail the current solicitation, the 22581, as well as changes from the previous solicitation. Third, we'd like to spend some time talking about how to ensure responsive and high quality proposals that are aligned with the program and the programmatic goals. And then last, answer any questions from the audience, any questions that you may have about the program. So let's start talking about the CC program and its objectives. Before we do that, however, I do want to make sure everyone is sort of oriented in the space of what OAC does and its role in supporting scientific cyber infrastructure. So OAC, or the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, supports and coordinates development, acquisition, and provisioning of state-of-the-art cyber infrastructure resources, tools, and services essential to the advancement and transformation of science and engineering. It's also important to understand what we mean by cyber infrastructure. We take a fairly expansive view and encompassing view of cyber infrastructure to include everything that supports science and discovery, including computation, data, software, networking, and even the people and the workforce that are involved in this scientific discovery and innovation. Further, when OAC thinks about supporting science and scientific discovery, we think about supporting really a very wide range of science, and we collaborate with other divisions with NSF. So for example, I've got six pictures here on the left that illustrate some of the diversity of science that OAC is involved in. Everything from things like Large Hadron Colliders to material science to Arctic discovery to computational biology. And these cyber infrastructures introduce fairly significant challenges. Things like large instruments that are producing very big data that often requires big compute for scientists that are highly collaborative, that are widely distributed, that work in very different specializations and work with infrastructure that has to be both available and ensure the integrity of the workflow. All the time, it has to be easy to use while sometimes adhering to regulatory or policy requirements. So these are some of the unique challenges that these infrastructures face. And I think it's fairly clear that there's security issues across all of these challenges. So at the very highest level, part of what CC is trying to accomplish is supporting this infrastructure so that it's secure and trustworthy. When we think about all of the vested parties that are in various organizations that can benefit from cybersecurity in the research and engineering space, first of all, we can think about the scientists. And the scientists are the ones who are just trying to do research. These may be domain scientists who really don't want cybersecurity to impede their research. And in fact, part of the goal of CC is to facilitate the scientists through cybersecurity. Furthermore, the scientists have colleagues, and the colleagues are interested in sharing data, having access to shared resources, doing collaboration, but also things like reproducibility of research results, also things like the integrity of research data. We also consider individuals such as the management of an organization that may be very interested in the institutional reputation, or they may be interested in the financial aspects of the cyber infrastructure. Of course, the research office is interested in protecting intellectual property, whereas the IT departments are concerned about the availability of the cyber infrastructure, ensuring that it's not disrupted in any way, and then it's not used as a cyber attack vector. And then last, the public has a vested interest in this, where it's very important that the public has trust in the science that's being performed. So all of these vested parties contribute to what CC is trying to accomplish. And in fact, what the NSF in its larger mission is trying to accomplish to promote the progress of science, to advance the national health, prosperity, and welfare, and to secure the national defense. So with all of that context, the way that OAC views securing the cyber research infrastructure is all of the sort of traditional components of cybersecurity, but this boils down to really three main components. One is ensuring reproducible science, two is ensuring collaborative science, and three, ensuring production science. So CC, or the Cybersecurity Innovation for Cyber Infrastructure Program, is geared towards supporting applied research to secure scientific data, workflows, and infrastructure, to develop, deploy, and integrate solutions that can benefit the broader scientific community. And it's interested in operationalizing emerging and novel cybersecurity techniques into the science CI domain, as well as developing new cybersecurity approaches that may be specific to the science CI domain, specific to bespoke science environments, platforms, so on and so forth, and the requirements of the scientific domain. So that's an introduction to the CC program. Now I'd like to talk in more detail about the actual solicitation and some of the changes from the prior solicitation. So one of the main changes of the solicitation is the addition of a new program area that we're excited about. This is the TCR program area, and this stands for the Transition to Cyber Infrastructure Resilience. This program area welcomes up to medium proposals, so up to $1.2 million for up to 3 years. I'll talk more about the TCR area in a moment. And then we're continuing two of the program areas from 2021. I encourage you to look at the previous CC solicitation if you're interested in seeing what was funded previously. That's solicitation 21-512. And in that previous solicitation, we had two program areas, UCSS and RSSD. This is the usable and collaborative security for science and the reference security science data sets programs. These program areas welcome proposals that are of small size, up to 600,000. So one change from last year is that the cap, the budget cap, has been raised on the small proposals from $500,000 to $600,000. And these also welcome proposals for up to 3 years. The due date for the CC solicitation is June 27th. So coming up soon. And we anticipate supporting between 12 to 20 awards total across these program areas, of course, subject to availability of funds. So some key themes in the CC program. The first is applied security research. And you'll hear me say this several times throughout this presentation, where CC is really interested and taking some, not working on foundational or basic security research, which may be more appropriate to other parts of NSF, but indeed taking applied security research and using that to the benefit of science, domain scientists, and the scientific cyber infrastructure. But another theme is also to recognize the uniqueness of the science CI ecosystem and indeed leverage the inherent differences in these science cyber infrastructures. Everything from the unique data that they have, the unique software, the unique workflows, and the unique workloads. Another key theme is to explicitly consider issues of usability, adoption, and ways to work better with the domain scientists and empower the domain scientists. So again, we don't want security to get in the way or be an obstacle to actual scientific discovery, but indeed we want it to be a benefit to the scientific discovery. We're also interested in transitioning cybersecurity research into science CI. We also want to discover and, where appropriate, mitigate weaknesses and vulnerabilities that are in some of these very bespoke science CI infrastructures. And then last, gather quantitative metrics wherever possible. So the three program areas in CC, the first that I mentioned or alluded to before is the UCSS, or the Usable and Collaborative Security for Science. This program area seeks applied research that can facilitate scientific collaboration. It can adopt security into the scientific workflows, but also overcome some of the security and usability obstacles to data and resource sharing. The second program area is the RSSD area, or the Reference Scientific Security Datasets. Here, we're interested in capturing some of the science-specific workflow or workload behaviors that are in these scientific cyber infrastructures. And we would like to promote efforts that can gather and curate some scientific workload datasets and even become canonical datasets that can help facilitate techniques to help secure science CI, help facilitate reproducibility, and also engender research in cybersecurity for scientific cyber infrastructure. Both of these first two, again, are welcoming small proposals. The third area, which is the new area, is the transition to cyber infrastructure resilience, or TCR, which welcomes up to medium-sized proposals. And in this particular area, which again is new, our objective and what we're hoping to see are efforts that will help improve the robustness and resilience of the scientific cyber infrastructure in a variety of potential different ways, including things like testing, evaluation, hardening, validation, and transition of novel cybersecurity research. So, what constitutes a successful CC proposal? Well, some of the key things that you should think about when submitting a proposal, first of all, is what are the actual science drivers? Again, all of this cybersecurity research should, in the end, facilitate scientific discovery and scientific exploration that the NSF is deeply engaged in. So we encourage you to identify the applications and the users and the cyber infrastructures that actually would benefit from the particular piece of cybersecurity research. So in addition, we would like to detail not just the applications and users, but also the environments that will benefit. And furthermore, not just what the environment is, but what are the unique properties of the scientific environment or the scientific domain or the scientific cyber infrastructure that can influence the desired security functionality, design, or mechanisms. So how is this actually being tailored to the particular scientific cyber infrastructure? Similarly, we're interested in understanding the actual threat model in the science domain. So for example, some of these scientific cyber infrastructures are very open. They may not be concerned about actually preserving the security of the data, but they may be much more interested in, for instance, the integrity of the data or the provenance of the data, things like that. So we're very interested in a precise threat model. And then last, the thing that you should absolutely think about is your plan for gathering, for doing evaluation of the work, and your plan for gathering quantitative metrics to assess the security benefits. So what is CC not? So it's important to distinguish, as I said, CC from some of the other cybersecurity programs and some of the other efforts and solicitations that are at the NSF. So first of all, CC is not the appropriate mechanism for non-security infrastructure efforts. And in addition, CC is not intended to support pure infrastructure operation. So we're much more interested in actual proposals that are responsive to the program areas that are actually doing some sort of research or doing some sort of applied research as opposed to something that's purely operational. Second, CC is not intended to support basic or fundamental cybersecurity or privacy research. And in fact, we have an entire program called SATSI, or the Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace Program, where some of that basic security and privacy research may be a better fit. Okay, in terms of proposal preparation, solicitation falls under the most recent PAPG. This is the NSF 22-1 Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide. So please take a look at that. The title of your proposal should, first of all, indicate that it's a CC proposal, then a colon, then it should indicate the program area, one of the three, either UCSS, RSSD, TCR, colon, and then the title. So for example, CC, colon, RSSD, colon, an amazing proposal. This will ensure that it's routed and categorized properly. Another change that has occurred, if you haven't recently submitted, is that we now require submissions to be made via research.gov or grants.gov. We no longer support submission via Fastlane, if you've used that in the past. Eligibility. So in terms of who may submit, proposals may only be submitted by colleges and universities, so institutions of higher education, or by nonprofit, non-academic organizations. The limit on the number of proposals per PI, co-PI, or senior personnel is 2. So an individual may participate as a PI, co-PI, or other personnel for no more than 2 of these proposals. Okay. So next, let's move on to the third part of the webinar, where we would like to talk about some of the specific program criteria, some of the evaluation criteria, and how to ensure that proposals are aligned with the programmatic goals. So as with other NSF solicitations, the primary review criteria are the standard review criteria of intellectual merit and broader impacts. In addition, we do consider CC-specific review criteria. So the reviewers and the review panel will look at all of these in their reviews, in their individual reviews, in the panel discussions, and in the panel summaries. So let's talk about the CC-specific criteria. So first of all, the first area that we're interested in is the project motivation and the impact. And I've mentioned this before, but I'd like to reemphasize it, that we're absolutely interested in proposals that are driven by some science motivation. We're interested in proposals that have a degree of innovation and impact. Second, and I'm going to talk about all of these in a bit more detail in a moment. Second, we're interested in seeing your cyber infrastructure plans. So we're interested in seeing the project plans, the system and the process architectures. We're interested in ensuring that the proposals build on any available existing recognized capabilities. Furthermore, we're interested in seeing close collaborations among stakeholders, in particular, some of the domain scientists or some of the cyber infrastructures. Third, we're interested in measurable outcomes. Here, we're talking about sustained and sustainable impacts. So let's go through each of these. All of this is in the solicitation itself, so I encourage you to read through that, but I will go over it. So the first is science-driven. To what extent is the proposed project science-driven? How will the project outcomes fill well-recognized science and engineering needs of the research community? What will be the broader impacts of the project, such as its benefits to science and engineering communities beyond its initial targets, underrepresented communities, and education and workforce development? The project description should provide a compelling discussion of the potential benefits it's intended as well as broader communities. To its intended as well as broader communities. In terms of innovation, we're interested in seeing to what extent is the proposed project innovative. What innovative and transformational capabilities will the project bring to its target communities? And how will the project integrate innovation and discovery into the project activities? For the cyber infrastructure plans, we're interested in seeing how well detailed are the project plans and the logical and physical architectures if it's appropriate. The project plan should include user interactions and provide a timeline, including a proof of concept demonstration or prototyping of the proposed system or framework. Secondly, we'd like to see that it builds on any existing or recognized capabilities. So to what extent does the proposed project build on existing recognized capabilities? How will the project activities build on and leverage existing NSF national and open source cyber infrastructure and cybersecurity investments as appropriate? And then third, close collaboration among stakeholders. To what extent does the project involve close collaboration among stakeholders? How will the project activities engage CI experts, specialists, and scientists working in concert with the relevant domain scientists who are users of CI? And then last, we're looking for things that will have some sustained impact. So how will the project's outcomes and its activities have these long-term impacts, and how will they be sustained beyond the lifetime of the award as appropriate? And are the sustainability approaches following well-established models? Okay, so the CC schedule, the deadline for CC, again, just to reiterate, is June 27th of this year, so coming up in a couple months. And in terms of the review schedule, the NSF targets a six-month dwell time. So this means that we try extremely hard to get an answer back to the PIs within 6 months of the submission. Okay, so that's the whirlwind overview of the CC program, changes to the solicitation, and expectations of what we're looking for in terms of responsive proposals. So at this time, I'd like to take any questions from the audience. So please, and I'd like to also welcome you to send us any message at any time. We're delighted to hear from the community and answer any specifics about your actual idea or your proposed activity. But we're happy to take any questions in the Q&A at this time. So thank you. All right, and I will read these off in the order that I see them. So the first question is, given that the projects will contribute to cybersecurity of scientific and engineering infrastructures, there may come up problems that may require inventing, developing novel techniques / fundamental research. Is this in line with the CC program? The answer is absolutely yes. This is something that CC tries to explicitly recognize, that indeed some of these scientific domains have very unique cyber infrastructure. That may be, again, that may be the computing platform, the software platform, the data, the users, or the security model. We're interested in both. We're interested in taking emerging cybersecurity research and transitioning that to these cyber infrastructures. So, essentially best practices, applying those, but we're also very interested in novel techniques and fundamental research as it applies to these scientific domains. So yes, that's absolutely in line with the CC program and its objectives and in line with what NSF likes to support. Okay, so I have answered that one live. Okay, the next question is, thank you so much for hosting this seminar, it's helpful. I wonder, one, when referring to science-driven, would the program be more interested in basic science like biology, chemistry, or broad science engineering disciplines like civil / chemical / environmental engineering? Is computer science itself included as well? And two, would the program prefer or at least recommend submitting a CC proposal collaborative with domain scientists, e.g. biologists or industrial partners? These are great questions. First of all, the first question is about the science drivers. Is the program more interested in basic science or other broader scientific and engineering disciplines? We are interested in both. I don't think we're more interested than one or the other. OAC as an organization has a rich history of collaborating with physicists and the chemistry divisions and the geophysical scientists, as well as the other science and the more engineering-based disciplines like civil engineering, so on and so forth. So both of these are extraordinarily important and of interest to us. So yes, as long as you can motivate the benefit to those domains, we're very interested in seeing those. The second part of that, and yes, computer science would be itself could be included as well, but again, you would need to motivate how that fits. The second part of that question is, would the program prefer collaborative with domain scientists? And the answer to that is that we absolutely want to see those close stakeholder relationships. But this particular solicitation does not take collaborative proposals. So anything you did, you would want to identify the domain scientists. You could absolutely do a sub award or something of that nature, but we do not take the collaborative submissions. Okay. All right. Okay, so the next question is, are you expecting that there will be direct collaborators from the other scientific fields? So similar question, great question. So we would love to see, so by direct, we don't necessarily mean that they're funded collaborators, for instance. Really what we are looking for is seeing some level of collaboration, right? And it's up to the proposers to define what that collaboration is and, you know, if it makes sense, and to, you know, motivate why actually engaging in this research would be of benefit to the other scientific domain fields. So here, it's really up to the proposers to define that relationship, but there's no expectation, for instance, that you submit a proposal that has, as an example, a co-PI from one of the scientific fields. All right, next question. Thank you for all the questions. These are great. I'm glad I allocated time to questions. Okay, so can you elaborate more about the difference between basic research in security and privacy compared to what you expect in CC compared to what you think is better suited for SATC? So here there's obviously a continuum between basic research and more applied research. This program is, definitely more on the applied side. So here, as an example to this question, there are, particular technologies may not be ready for consumption by the domain scientists, right? These could be things that are much more on the theoretical side. These could be things that are not, computationally tractable. These could be things that are simply, they're very emergent type of technologies, right? So, again, there's a continuum. We don't discourage, fundamental research. We absolutely acknowledge the fact that there could be fundamental research being done in this space that's specific to the science domain, but it may be in many cases more appropriate for SATC. Okay, can you make questions visible to all? I am not entirely sure how to do that, but I'm trying to read them out. Okay, next question. Do you think we should try to include some domain scientists as co-PI? So I think we covered this one before. I think, this would be, we are looking for the demonstration of close collaboration with the stakeholders, but it's not required that they are co-PIs, for instance. And again, if you want to see some examples of that, what's been done in the past in terms of collaborations with stakeholders, I encourage you to look at some of the things that were funded in previous years. So not a requirement, but it's absolutely one of the review criteria that the panel will look at. Okay. All right, so for the RSSD or the reference scientific security data sets, can a program area, can the project activities also involve developing the CI to support analysis of those data sets? Or would the primary objective be generating and hosting these data sets? So that is an excellent question. And the answer is both. We are interested in both. So we do recognize that there may be instrumentation required in order to get some of these reference security data sets. We understand that getting some of this data and instrumenting the infrastructure can be the hardest part. But we would like to see out of that. So we would support proposals that actually work on the development of the CI to support all of this. But we're most interested in generating and hosting these data sets. I think part of this question too, I may not be answering it completely correctly, is supporting analysis of the data sets. So I think the answer there is that could be in scope, but I think it would be important to motivate, why that would benefit the community as a whole. So if there's a good argument for some cyber infrastructure that could be a supporting piece of infrastructure for analyzing these data sets, that would be in scope, but it would be up to you to motivate that. Okay, would NSF accept research proposals that leverage research infrastructure for reproducible and scalable computations developed by other government agencies, for example, WIP developed by NIST? I think this one would probably be one that would be most appropriate to talk about, perhaps one-on-one. We are of course interested in leveraging NSF infrastructures. That doesn't preclude leveraging other research infrastructures. However, I think a solid case would need to be made for how this benefits the broader scientific community and how it's aligned with both the NSF and NIST goals. NSF does collaborate with NIST, so I would certainly say that could be in scope, but it would probably be good to chat about it a little bit more. All right, can a proposal focus on enhancing the security of CI in a social science domain? The answer there is absolutely yes. We are interested in basic sciences, the chemistry, the physics, the engineering side of it, as well as social sciences. So that is definitely in scope. All right. Is there specific wording required for industry letters of support or commitment? So on that one, I would absolutely encourage you to read the text of the program solicitation. All of that should be detailed in there pretty clearly. So there's a whole section on the letters of support or commitment. Okay. Here we go. Next question is, if an industry supporter provides funds to support this research, is that sufficient for a letter of commitment, or do we have to have funds specifically designated for support of this grant? In terms of letters of commitment, I think you know, if they can, I think that would demonstrate a level of commitment that would certainly be adequate to the program. I'm not sure I completely understand where this is going in terms of funds specifically designated for support of this grant. So if I'm answering this correctly, there's no requirement, for instance, that you subaward some of your funds to an industry supporter. That is not a requirement. And indeed, is not a goal of the program to support industry. Instead, we're interested in supporting nonprofits and academics. So that's part of the eligibility requirements here. We're delighted if you collaborate with an industry partner, insofar as that supports the research enterprise. But we're not intending for any kind of we're not requiring any kind of funds to go to them, and that's really not the intention. Just clarified that collaborative proposals are not allowed. Yes, that's correct. Okay. Does that mean CC only allows for proposals submitted by a single institution? So that is correct. If you would, it's certainly possible for you to collaborate with others at other institutions. But we will make a single award, and then that will, if you want to collaborate with others and further distribute those funds, that would have to be done as a sub-award. So that would be the mechanism for doing that. So NSF would make one award, and then your institution would have to make the sub-award. Okay. All right. Should the proposed solution target only scientists for one domain, e.g. climate science, or multiple domains? Okay, so for that one, I don't think there's a should. We're interested in your best ideas, right? I think both of those would be interesting. And I think we have examples of work in the program that fall into both of those bins. So I don't think one is better than the other. Really, we're just looking for the science driver, the motivation, and the benefit to that particular community or communities. Okay. The second part of that question is letters of collaboration. So how many are required or recommended? I don't think we have a requirement for any, and I don't think we have any particular recommendation. I think the main recommendation is to make a convincing argument to us, as well as the panel, that there is a close collaboration among stakeholders, right? Whoever those stakeholders are, we want to see that they are vested and interested in this work. Whatever is required to support that is what we would recommend. Okay, next question is, can national labs and other FFRDCs participate? This one is complicated, and would recommend you contact us directly for a specific answer. In general, NSF does not support the national labs. There are instances where the national labs may have a higher level umbrella organization that is a nonprofit. And there's been instances where we can do something there, but I would encourage you to reach out to us to talk about your specific situation or your specific concern there. All right, next question. Okay, if I don't list any domain scientists as co-PIs, does the panel expect at least some collaboration letters? Or if I have already published some papers with domain scientists, would the publication record suffice without the collaboration letter? This is a sort of a subjective question. I guess I would say that, you know, in my experience, the panel appreciates letters. It does demonstrate at least a base level of engagement with the, you know, with the domain scientists and the collaborators. You know, it's certainly not required, but I think it's appreciated by the panel. So I think that's, you know, probably the best answer I can give to that one. All right. So I think I have answered most of these. If I didn't answer someone's question to their satisfaction, please drop it into the Q&A box, or please send myself or my colleague Kevin Thompson an email, and we would be glad glad to get back to you with more information. All right, going through these. All right, thank you. Another one popped in here. Okay, got some more questions. All right, looking through the list of previously funded grants, I didn't find an RSSD one. Can we expect 2 to 5 awards this year per the solicitation page? So you are correct. We received proposals in that area last year, but we did not fund any. And we are still excited to see, you know, high quality proposals in this space. So that's why we've continued the program area. Can we expect 2 to 5 awards this year? The answer is depending on the quality of the proposals. So absolutely, if there's 2 to 5 quality proposals in the RSSD area, we absolutely intend, again, caveat, subject to availability of funds and budgets and so on and so forth. Our intention is to fund activities in that area. So yes, we would love to support work in that area. If you have specific questions about what you would like to do, please reach out to us. Feel free to send us a one pager or what have you. And we're happy to give you some specific feedback about the reference security, science security data sets area. Okay. All right, just to be clear, does proposing to the transitions area require existing CI? I think I would say pretty much yes. Remember, we take a very broad view of what constitutes a CI. So I don't think that that's a huge obstacle. But yes, I think the general idea there is that there is some existing CI, again, whether that's compute, whether that's data, whether that's networking, or all of the above, right? I think we would like to see work done on some of these existing cyber infrastructures towards the robustness of them and a deeper understanding and a deeper protection or support of the domain scientists. All right. Just going through these to make sure, if I skipped anyone's question, I apologize. Please repost. All right. Okay. All right. And then there's a question about the presentation. So yes, we will post the presentation to the program a recording of the webinar to the program page, hopefully in a week or so to the public. Okay. All right, so I believe I have cleared the Q&A queue. I will stick around for a few more minutes if there's any other questions that you all may have. Okay, if not, again, please reach out to us with any particulars. We are delighted to answer and go over anything about the program. And with that, we're excited to see your submissions. So thank you so much and have a great rest of your day.